Welcome to the Professional Magician Podcast. Discover ways to book more shows at higher fees from a guy who's been doing it for over 20 years. Here's Chris Johnson.
Making magic with your words, that plus a review of Smoke Cube is all coming up in today's episode of the Professional Magician Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Johnson. Thanks for joining me here today. This episode was inspired by my dog, my little dog, Daphne. As many of you know, I lost my dog, Sophie, last June. A couple of months went by. My wife really wanted to fill the void, so we got another little dog named Daphne. She is currently about 9 pounds, and she's adorable. She's a Pomeranian, black and white, and looks like something stepped out of Cruella de Vil's closet. Just an adorable, cute little dog. When we first got her, everybody was still obviously grieving, and we got this puppy, and I have to train a puppy, and she was high energy, and for the first couple of weeks, I hated her because she wasn't, first of all, because she wasn't Sophie, and secondly, because she was just so out of control. I mean, we really had to step up and train her and everything. She just had so much stinking energy, you know, to the point where I was nicknaming her Demon Dog, which my wife did not appreciate at all, and all three of us were unhappy, my wife, my mother-in-law who lives with us, and myself. And my wife really wanted to like the dog, but all the negative attention the dog was getting from me and my mother-in-law was really skewering her her feelings about this dog. So finally, at one point, she said to me, you know, you have to remember, she's a baby. She's a baby. And something about the way she said that just shifted inside my entire head. I'm like, oh my God, she's right. She's just a little baby. And from that moment on, my entire perception of that dog shifted to the point now where I just love this dog. She's fun. She's playful. She's curious. She's inquisitive. She's a very happy little dog, and she's just great. She just brightens up the house, and we've taken her to training and got her training, and she does all these cool tricks and everything now, all these cool commands. She's a great dog, and it is all because of what my wife said. My wife said, she's a baby. You have to remember, she's a baby, and those words caused a shift in me. Words are really powerful. We use words all the time in our magic, but many of us don't think about using those words when we're actually trying to book our shows. And let me give you an example of what I mean. When we're describing our magic, a lot of folks out there believe that their websites will do the work for them. We'll have a couple of cool pictures up here, you know, maybe some videos, and then a lot of people really look at the words as being unimportant. And boy, I run into this a lot. I have found that most magicians describe their shows in very simple ways, in very similar ways, in their websites, to the point where I literally, before recording this episode, as a proof of concept, I literally open up my browser and I search for magicians near me. I clicked on the first one that I found, and he describes it very similar to everybody else, which is extremely ineffective. I'm going to read some of this magician's copy, not to belittle him, and I'm not going to say his name either. I'm going to just skip over his name, but simply to point out that many magicians do the same thing, and what you can do to fix the problem. So it's a website. That's all I'm going to say about a family magician. And here is this gentleman's copy. Stop your search for magical entertainment. You've just found the fun, exciting, and unbelievable name. For over two decades, mind-boggling magic has been seen by thousands of families as he's been trusted to provide the featured entertainment at special events coast to coast. From Erie, Pennsylvania to Los Angeles, California, Name creates unforgettable entertainment experiences the whole family will love. Not only will you be blown away by his sleight of hand and epic illusions, your guests will love the interactive nature of this show. He's even been asked to headline in Vegas. A truly unique show, Name Magic, is the perfect addition for your family event or special celebration your guests will talk about for years to come. Yeah, that's the description. And it's very similar to descriptions of shows that I've read on literally hundreds of magic websites. It doesn't really say anything. Hey, this is a really cool show. Everybody's going to love it. It's interactive and it's fun. And then he mentions a couple of, he's been asked to headline and that kind of stuff in Vegas. I mean, it doesn't really say anything. It doesn't go deep enough to persuade. It just says, hey, I've got a great show. You'll love it. Hire me, is essentially what all these words are saying. And it's not enough. It really is not enough. And I'm going to step out. I mean, my clients who know that I'm all about copywriting and it helps for SEO and getting found online and everything. But digging deeper, it's less about SEO and more just the persuasive nature of copywriting. You've got to persuade people to take that next step, and this copy doesn't. And again, I'm not picking on this guy in particular. It's copy for magicians, literally. Back in 2021, when I was considering offering copywriting and digital marketing services to magicians, I was still mulling this over in my head. As a thought experiment, I went to 200 magicians' websites. Most of them were in the States, a few were overseas, and some were in Canada, but most of them were in the United States. And all of them, with very few exceptions, all of them described their magic shows just like this guy. Just, you know, very trite, not nearly enough persuasion to show why this person is the standout amongst all the choices that somebody might have. Other than just being, you know, showing up in local searches, for example. But if I searched, and I'm even now still open on my browser, and I found, let me see, you'll say one, two, there, well, I'm there, three, four, five, six, yeah, and then you come up with like the bash and things like that. But yeah, so many different, and it's just not, and most of them, not all of them, but most of them describe their shows like that. And I'm gonna, you know what, just for the heck of it, I'm gonna go to another one, another magic website right here while I'm on, just clicking on another one at random. And again, I'm not going to reveal anybody's name or anything like that. Let's see. I'm looking through this. I'm a birthday party magician, entertainer for over 20 years, has dedicated his time to make life easier for mom and dad all across the Southern California area. So he's going, so right away he's switching from third person to first person and back again. How do I do this? By being a kids magician who blends comedy surprises, puppetry, clowning around, music, and balloon animals into unique birthday party magic show extravaganza your child, your family, your entire neighborhood will remember forever. And let me see here. And yeah, he talks about being a child specialist, which is good. But describing the show itself just isn't, you know, it's, yeah, I'm rambling now. But anyway, most magicians, they take a couple of paragraphs and they describe the show like that. It's not enough. Now, this guy, he went in and he started talking about being a specialist, which is good, but it's still not enough to paint a picture in people's minds. You cannot rely just on the pictures to sell your act. You've got to rely on words. And that's the point of this whole episode. Just as being told that my little dog Daphne was a baby caused a shift, you've got to use words to help people take that next step to contact you. I mean, don't get me wrong, pictures and video help. That's not what I'm saying, but you have to have the copy to support the pictures and video. Otherwise, it's just a photo gallery. So words really matter. My first tip for you to do this is when you're describing your act, for those of you out there who actually describe your act in detail, lose the insider talk, lose the magic talk. There's some people say things like produce, like, oh, okay, during my show, I produce live animals. That's industry talk. That doesn't sound right. I mean, yes, people get the intent behind it. But it sounds alien. The language doesn't paint a picture in people's minds. It's industry talk. Same thing with silk. Eugene Berger talked about this in one of his books. You know, like, don't say silk. Nobody knows what the heck a silk is. Say hanky, handkerchief, whatever. So again, lose the industry talk. That's key. Now, another concept that will be very helpful to you is something that my friend Rodney and I talked about in depth years ago, and we revisit this from time to time, and that is the concept of marquee tricks. And as we describe it, a marquee trick is something you can describe very briefly in a couple of words to somebody over the phone, and it causes a picture in their mind to develop. The classic one is, I float your child in the air. I have booked more shows just by telling my clients on the phone, yeah, I can float, if it's a birthday party, I can float your child in there. Oh my God, we want that. But back when I was doing a lot of birthday parties and I had different packages, I still have different packages. I just don't book a lot of birthday parties anymore by choice. Yeah, I had three different packages, and the middle package and the higher tiered package were the ones that had the birthday parties. And I can count on one hand how many times I sold the base package, because when people heard I can float the kid in the air, that's what they wanted. It painted an immediate picture in their mind. Now, what's funny about that is a photographer who cut my first demo video for me, he hired me back when I was working in Pittsburgh. I think it was Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was Pittsburgh. And when he heard from his dad, because his dad hired me and then offered to create a demo video for me because he's very impressed by what I did. And when he first told his son that the magician is coming, he's going to float in the air, I guess his kid had images of him just flying all over the place, like, you know, hundreds of feet up in the air and flying around. Because at the time I was using a Mac Magic flying carpet. Anyway, so... So it really painted a picture in his mind. And to this day, like just the other day, somebody contact me and they wanted me to do a show just for a kindergarten class. And it was a couple hours away. So I quartered my regular fee, which in this case, for one show is $800. And that was way more than she wanted to spend. But she heard me say something about floating one of the students in the air, and she pushed and got the extra money because it just created that perception. Another example of great marquee tricks are snow. I make it snow. Now, you and I both know, listening to this, that 9 times out of 10, when we make it snow, we've got a dragon-themed fan, and we're going to wave it at our hands and make confetti fly in the air. And most people think about snowing from the ceiling and things like that, you know, like this incredible thing. So that paints a picture in people's minds, though. It's really cool. Now, when they get there, you know, it's a different story, possibly, because I still think the chair suspension, even though it's made me a lot of money, is a crappy illusion. I just hate how it looks, but it works. Now, another one is causing animals to appear from thin air. I mean, that paints a picture. You know, don't say I produce a live dove. You know, I cause animals to appear from thin air. I mean, that's much more powerful. It just paints a better picture in people's minds. Now, I'll give you one that I used to use Bobby Mata's alive trick. And that's basically one where you've got essentially a smart ass deck of cards from Bill Abbott and a box, and the audience member can look at the box, who comes up to help you, and the box is empty. They themselves close the box. You don't go anywhere near it. And then you take the deck of cards, it's got all these animals written on it, and you start throwing cards over your shoulder, or they start throwing cards over their shoulder, eliminating the cards all the way down to one card. And in this case, when I was doing it, it was a rat. And so she opened up the box, and of course a live rat was there. So the illusion to the audience is she picked a card out of a deck of animal cards, and that particular animal was the one that appeared magically inside the box, which is very, very powerful. So I started, when I was advertising this on my website, I'd say an audience member chooses which live animal magically appears. And that's very arresting and very cool. Like, what? You know, maybe people will think, well, maybe he's got all these animals locked in a box and he just pulls out the right, whatever it is, it creates a picture in their mind. So that's a little bit about marquee tricks that, now I'll confess, I've been using the Lysander table for years and years, but it's not the best marquee trick in the world. The chair suspension, even though I think it's a horrible illusion, it's a much better marquee trick. When I started using the Lysander table, I would tell people on the phone, I caused this large metal table to float in the air, and they're like, oh. And it just didn't resonate the same way. So even though it's a great trick, it wasn't a good marquee trick. So whenever you're putting the shows together, try to find at least one trick that is like a marquee level trick that you can describe. You want to describe a few different tricks. Give it, other than just saying, also laugh out loud riot, and it's very interactive and fun. That's too vague. Describe a few of your routines. And again, the ones that I rattled off are the ones that I describe whenever I can, depending on what show that I'm doing. Like the X-Tail board. Here's another one. I draw a face on a dry erase board, and all of a sudden the eyes start moving, the mouth starts moving, and it starts talking to the kids. I mean, that causes, you know, when people hear that, they're like, whoa, I mean, that's another great marquee trick. It's really easy to describe. So marquee tricks don't necessarily have to be big and expensive. I mean, you know, a snowstorm is very cheap to put together. So do you think about marquee tricks and describe those on your website like I talked about a moment ago. Now, the biggest thing you want to do on your website when you're writing your copy for your website is you want to have you want to discuss things in terms of VAK. And I'm sure I've talked about this in other podcasts, but I know everybody doesn't listen to every episode. So it's VAK stands for visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Many of us, well, first of all of us, who have all of our abilities, we all process information with our five senses: visual, auditory, kinesthetic. You know, we see things, we hear things, we touch things, and we also smell things, we taste things. But in terms of a show, we pretty much just describe it, unless you're doing a seance, we pretty much just describe it in terms of visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And the reason why this is important by using all three of these is because everybody's wired, obviously, to use all three, unless they're hearing impaired or what have you. But they, all of us tend to gravitate toward one or two more than the other when they're learning things. Like if I'm learning something, I'm processing information, you know, I like to see it first, and then kinesthetic, I like to get my hands into it. And that's how I learn. I see it first, and then I touch it and get my hands into it and practice, and then I can really go with it. My wife is very strong auditorily, and she's also kinesthetic. She can hear it, and then she can get into it with her hands, and then she can learn it and do it. So that's just a little bit about learning styles too. So, and I could go on a whole nother tangent about that, but I won't. So when we're describing our magic on our websites, we want to see if we can engage as many of those senses as possible with our words. So, and I just wrote this just right before I started recording. I'm not saying this is brilliant copy, but it's just something to think of, this kind of style. So instead of saying, you know, I do a great show and it's interactive, the kids love it and they laugh out loud, which is okay. It's barely adequate. Instead, we can talk about, you know, when you see my show, I use bright, colorful props filling the stage. I have decorative backdrops and banners which help frame the show and hold the kids' attention and create a true theatrical experience for the kids. And you'll enjoy hearing your kids laugh out loud at my antics. You'll see their smiles on their faces, and you feel good bringing in an entertainer who creates this amazing experience. I mean, that paints more of a picture in your mind. And then after that, if I was going to talk about specific tricks, I'd do it from there. But you see how that's different than those websites I just referenced a moment ago. Now we're painting a picture in people's minds. We're talking about these bright colors. We're talking about the laughter they're going to hear and that kind of thing. And then the good feelings and the kinesthetic. Which, and again, you still want to mention that it's interactive, that it's funny and everything like that, but add this kind of language into your into what you're talking about, because it's going to create a more vivid picture in people's minds, and it's going to make them want to contact you. And that was just something I scribbled literally right before I started recording. It took me like 3 seconds. So that's what you want to do when you're talking about your magic. You want to paint these pictures in people's minds, and you can get as in depth to it as you want. Like you can say, say you go to a show and you have, I'll pick the Jeff Jones backdrops because those are very particular. So you could say something like, for a birthday show, because I know my friend Tommy James, he used to stuff a Jeff Jones backdrop into his car and bring that to a birthday party. And it really, and I've seen his videos, his full length birthday party shows created just a heck of a theatrical experience for the kids. So if I was going to describe Tommy's show, I would say something along the lines of, you know, the kids are excited for the show, and they're waiting for the show to begin. 30 minutes after arrival, they walk into the living room. The living room has been transformed. There's a large backdrop framing the action. The colorful props are standing by in the area, just waiting for the kids to discover them. Their eyes are wide open in anticipation. When the magician begins, he's doing tricks full of laughter. The kids start belly laughing. Sometimes laughing so hard you can see tears coming out of their eyes. The laughter just fills the room. The magician is very funny, telling jokes and kid-friendly humor on a level that they appreciate and understand, but also some fun family-friendly humor for the adults listening too. You hear them laughing and see them smile as well too. So again, that's just I'm not saying that's brilliant, but it's literally off the top of my head, just creating this visual experience with words, talking about Tommy James' kick-ass birthday show. Hope that makes sense to everybody. So, and when you do this, it sets you apart from everybody else. I mean, I was talking, I forget who I was talking to. I was talking to a client, a relatively new client recently, a digital marketing client, because I do websites for magicians. I build websites. I do the copy on it. I handle Google ads, all kinds of fun stuff. And this magician was asking me, you know, how's your year going? And I said, oh, it's great. I'm actually, it's right now it's April, you know, toward the tail end of April. And I am about $14,000 away from matching last year's total. So I'm having just a killer year. I mean, absolutely killer year magic wise. To be that close to my yearly total from last year, 4 months into the year this year, I'm really happy with it. And he asked me, "How do you get most of your gigs?" And I said, "Well, I'll send postcards out for libraries, and I'll do some email blasts for libraries, and I'll do a couple for schools. But honestly, most of my marketing just comes in off of my website. It's SEO optimized. People see the website. It's got a good design. They read it and they contact me. And I've had countless people tell me, oh my God, we just loved your website. It was so informative. I mean, that really, I mean, you know, they love how it looks too. But they say your website is so informative. We felt really good going with you. And another thing too, you want to paint a picture in clients' mind with, as I wrap this up, is your testimonials. I see a lot of magicians who have testimonials on their website, and they just pick a snippet out. Like, it'll say, "He was great, BL, Chicago, Illinois," for example. It's not anywhere near enough. Most of the time when people send testimonials, it's almost always more than that. They say, "Oh my God, he was great. The kids loved him," or something like that. So, and if you're lucky to get in-depth testimonials, like longer ones, like if you look at my website, I've got a ton of testimonials on it, and many of them are rather lengthy. Run the full testimonial. If it's a full paragraph, run the full testimonial. That way people can, I'll even do it right now. And I wasn't going to do this, but I'll do this right now. I'm going to read aloud one of the testimonials, a couple of testimonials I've got on my website. And I don't do this to brag or anything, but just to show you how a really cool testimonial can paint a picture in your clients' minds more than just, "He was great." You know, I think the reason why a lot of magicians cut their testimonials short like that is because they don't, and I mean no disrespect, they don't feel that the wording is as valuable as the pictures in the website. Because obviously what we do is, it's a visual art, and I get that. But words are equal to importance on your website. So I'm going to read the one that I've got currently on my homepage. It's a very long testimonial, so I apologize in advance, but this is relevant. "Chris Johnson is someone you most definitely want to come visit your school and present to your students. His professionalism, charisma, and programs are far above the rest. He handles every last detail himself and makes every part of bringing his assembly programs from scheduling to day of setup easy for the principal and school. The caliber of his program content is perfect for students in today's ever-changing and growing complex world. Whether he is showcasing character traits or test-taking strategies, your students will be engaged and listening as a result of his mix of high-interest tricks, media, and sensory inputs with choice language and explicit, powerful messaging. By far, what makes Chris the best assembly program provider for your school, though, is his ability to manage a large crowd. From the moment the kids enter your gym, cafeteria, or multipurpose room, to the time they re-enter the classroom, Chris has them following his every lead and being respectful and courteous, quiet when necessary, and participating appropriately. Never have I had an assembly end so calmly and quiet." Now that's a kick-ass testimonial, and that was I think I asked her after the show, she loved it. I said, "Would you mind sending me a testimonial?" And she said, "Sure." I did. A lot of folks, what they'll do is they'll write the testimonial first and have the client sign off on it, and that's great. I'm too lazy to do that. This client, she wrote it herself, principal of a school in Ohio, and it was great. Now I'm going to go to another one again. Talking myself up, but just allowing words to paint a picture in people's minds. And while this may not be the whole visual auditory kinesthetic thing that I talked about from your clients, the fact that many of your clients will take time to expand upon their thoughts other than just saying "he was great" is indicative of the kind of praise you're looking for. So let me see here. I don't want to do that one. Let me go to another web page here. I'll go to my character show page, because my character show page, I've got, let me see here. Okay, this is one from a client from a few years ago. It was actually before the pandemic. But and I've worked with her several times before. And she says, "Thanks again for coming to Hill and Plain. It is so hard to find character education programs for our young students, but your shows never disappoint. Several teachers remarked how good you are, and I love your messages. The message about not judging others from what they see, but how you got to get to know the student and know them from the inside. Also, the last magic trick about including others, that visual is so on key. Having that little white block left out was so evident to the students, they comprehended well. I also love the magic trick where the strong kid can't pick up the box. It was perfect for that particular kid because he's pretty popular, and having not be the one that succeeds was perfect. That's kind of funny. I haven't read that one in years. So you can see how, I mean, that helps paint a picture in your mind too. But, you know, she got into specifics. So when you're putting, when you're writing the copy for your website, you're trying to paint a picture in your clients' minds. Talk about some of your marquee tricks that will instantly create an image in their minds. Talk about your show in terms of what they'll see, what they'll hear, and what they'll feel, as opposed to just having trite, oh, it's interactive and fun. I mean, which is, again, adequate, barely. But if you paint a picture in their people's minds, you're going to engage their subconscious minds, and they're going to feel more connected to you based on the words. And then the pictures and the video will obviously help and make that even better too. So I hope all that makes sense. I'm really proud of this episode. I think it was a really good topic. But now let's get on to this week's episode of Trick Talk.
It's time for Trick Talk. Honest, detailed reviews of magic tricks, equipment, and other fun stuff to make your show the best it can be.
Okay, now it's on to this week's episode of Trick Talk, and I'm going to tackle this week Smoke Cube, Gimmick and Online Instructions by, and I know I'm going to butcher his name, Jao Miranda. I'm just going to say Miranda from here on out because I can't remember how to pronounce his name, and I feel really bad about it. Smoke Cube by Miranda. So, you know, no disrespect intended. So I bought mine from Penguin Magic, and I know they're available elsewhere, especially on Miranda's site. I'm going to read the ad copy. Here we go. Looking to enhance a great moment with the production of smoke, read on. After the success of Miranda's Smoke Watch, performed by David Copperfield on TV, is a highly anticipated arrival of Smoke Cube. It is the smallest smoke machine in the world, created with a professional in mind. Includes 10 full routines with purchase, so you can get started right away. Here are some of the great, amazing features of this small but amazing smoke device. It's got a great grip surface that allows you to classic palm it easily due to the anti-slippery material used in the construction of the gimmick. That way, you can apparently show your hands empty while producing a beautiful cloud of smoke. It is programmable from 1 to 20 seconds, meaning you can be hands-free when the smoke is produced. The cube has one built-in strong magnet at the bottom, so you can attach it to any prop in a moment's notice or even to your jacket sleeve. You can install the cube into any illusion like the Devil's Hank or even the classic smoke glass, greatly enhancing the final effect. The unit vibrates right before the smoke starts producing. This is essential for the working professional. There are no remote controls to worry about. Everything is self-contained in the device. The cube allows for a reel attachment so the magician can show his hands empty after the smoke production. The battery is rechargeable by the included USB cable. Refilling the gimmick only takes 3 seconds, and he can do it on the go. For free, you receive an extra custom piece with a built-in magnet so you can attach the smoke cube to a pocket, a prop, or even sew it into a cloth. Due to the way the cube is engineered, you can activate the gimmick while in classic palm without the help of the other hand. The smoke cube allows for programming, smoke delay after the button is pushed, or you can activate the live mode. The smoke is produced continuously until the button is pushed again. The device comes ready to use with a custom-made EVA pouch for transport, USB cable, liquid, and full instructions. Smoke Cube is proudly made in Portugal by Miranda and his incredible team, known for producing some of the finest magic in the world today. Okay, let's get into this. Most of the ad copy is very accurate. In fact, it's all accurate. What am I saying? But I'm going to take umbrage with one of the things that they tout as a great feature. And it is a good feature, but it does have a drawback. The unit vibrates right before the smoke starts producing. So that I have a problem with, because let's say you wanted to have the unit just sitting behind something on your table. Well, unless you're on stage, that vibration, the audience is going to hear it. So, I mean, I was working with this and planning on hiding the cube in various locations, and the fact that it vibrates so much, in being very noticeable, I really had an issue with that. I didn't like when he gets into the 10 routines, he explains them all very well, but there are a couple that he didn't explain at all, which I was really disappointed about. I think he did explain 10 routines, but as they were playing the trailer for the video, he showed, oh, and you'll learn this routine and that routine, and he showed a really cool effect with a smoking book that you could do for like a seance or a spooky show or something like that. I'm like, I didn't see the routine because he didn't explain it. You open up the book and there's this page there, and the page is all burned, you know, and I'm like, oh, how cool. What a cool slant for a different style of book test. And he never explained it. I'm like, ugh. So that drove me kind of crazy. He also did not give really good instructions about how much liquid to add. He just kind of, you know, put the bottle toward the area where the liquid goes. And he goes, oh, about that much. You know, and I was having trouble getting mine to work. So at some point, you know, I wound up overfilling the darn thing, and it works, and it works great. But I wish there was had been more attention to like a real extreme close up over exactly how much liquid you're putting into the cube. So that kind of bugs me. The programming is good. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I do have one issue with the programming is that it doesn't hold. What I mean by that is, you know, you turn the unit on, you program it. If you want a delay, you program it for X amount of seconds, from 1 to 20 seconds for a delay, so that you can, you know, palm the unit, get it ready, hit the button, and then it'll wait that many seconds before it starts, you know, spewing out the smoke. But unfortunately, when you turn the unit off and then back on again, that programming goes away. So every time you turn it back on, you've got to program it again. At least that's how my unit's operating, which kind of bugs me. So I guess if I'm going to be doing this trick, before I take it out, I either have to turn it on and very quickly program it. And you can turn it, if you want to have a 5 second delay, you can have it programmed in 5 seconds. I mean, that's how quickly you can program the thing. But you know, to me, I mean, 5 seconds of you hiding behind a box, I mean, you know, like where you're getting a prop ready, it's kind of irritating. So my plan is to have it programmed at the right amount and leave the unit on, ready to go. So when I do the trick during the show, unit's already on. And thankfully, the battery lasts long enough that I can actually do that. Still, I wish I could have my unit pre-programmed, or not pre-programmed, but, you know, I program it for, like, say, 5 seconds, and then when I turn it back off and back on again, that programming still holds true. I wish that was the case, but it doesn't seem to be. And also, when you do the pre-programming, it's not a terribly long puff of smoke. It's, like, a couple of seconds, which is nice. But if you're on stage, I would have liked to have smoked a little bit longer. So that's a little bit of a, if you do the pre-programming option, you don't have a choice in how long the unit puffs out the smoke. So that to me was a minor deterrent as well. The mode where it smokes when you turn it on and start smoking. I mean, that looks really good. Depending on the kind of thing you're doing, like I'll tell you, I'm planning on using mine for the ashes on the arm, where you've got something written on your arm in wax, and then you rub ashes over it, and it appears. And I'm planning on using this unit to accent that trick. So I wish that the puff of smoke lasted longer. I could program the puff of smoke to last longer. So as I'm rubbing my arm, like just smoke billows out and then turn it off. But the only way to do that would be to have the full whatever you call it, the live mode. So it just keeps smoking and smoking and smoking until you turn it off again. But I'm not the best at classic palming, and the last thing I'm going to do is try to hit the switch while people are burning my hands. So I guess I'm going to just stick with the pre-programmed version. So these are all minor considerations. I just want to let you know what you're in for when you get it. The tactile, the grip surface that's on the thing, I mean, that's really cool. I mean, I you know, that kind of attention to detail I really dig from Miranda. It's it really does aid in palming quite well. The thing is really tiny. I don't have the biggest hands in the world, and it is quite easy to palm the thing too. The magnets I didn't think were all that strong, because like what I did is I bought a I didn't buy a PK ring. I bought I can't remember what it's called. It's a gimmick with like you it's kind of like a Sonata gimmick where you hold this gimmick in your hands, and it's supposed to allow you to produce coins and all that. And there's like magnets you can use. And my smoke cube is too powerful for that thing. I don't know if it'd be better with a PK ring, because those tend to be a little bit more powerful. So I may try that next. You know, just food for thought. I mean, you either have to palm the thing or have it mounted somewhere, which is all, you know, part of the versatility of this gimmick. So I overall, I really like the thing. There's a couple of things about it that I don't like, but I don't think they're insurmountable either. So I'm going to give this a good solid 8 out of 10. I think it is really worth your consideration. Just, consider the things that I'm talking about in this in this podcast, as to whether or not they're insurmountable for you, or if you don't care and it works for you. My biggest issue is probably the vibration. Yes, it's wonderful knowing that you can, you'll know exactly when the thing's ready to fire. I mean, that is really, really cool. But it also means you got to be really careful where you mount the thing so that people don't hear that vibration, like on a table or something, unless you're doing a stage show with music. And that's an option too. But if you're doing this close up, And people are almost on top of you. My guess is your best bet is just to use it, classic palms in your hand, so that you don't have to worry about that, those vibrations. Yeah. So let me talk about angles, I guess, a little bit. I mean, it's like anything else. It's very, very tiny. It's a little bit bigger than a die from like a board game, like a six-sided die. So, you know, it's a little bit bigger than that, but not terribly so. So that gives you an idea of the size. So, if you can palm something, I mean, your angles are pretty covered, you know, so consider it like that. You know, very easy. The ease of use of this thing, I mean, it's a 1 out of 10, you know, I mean, you charge it, you add your liquid, you push a button. I mean, it's push button magic. So the challenge with this is going to be, how you incorporate it into a routine. I don't think that just having smoke come out is enough of a magic trick, unless you're doing like the smoke glass or something. Otherwise, people are going to go, oh, he's got something in his hand that's making it smoke. So, you know, consider that. Yeah, and most people use this as an enhancement. Like, you know, consider like Shin Lim on Penn and Teller. He used smoke to enhance a lot of his tricks, and that's what something like this could really best be used for, as an enhancement to a routine or something really spooky happening. So, you know, 1 out of 10 in terms of difficulty, super easy. 1 out of 10 as far as angles. As long as you can palm something, you can watch your angles, and you'll be just fine. Easy to use. Yeah, good prop. I'll give it a good solid 8 out of 10. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Professional Magician Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, I encourage you to visit me online at theprofessionalmagicianclubpro.com. Again, that's theprofessionalmagicianclubpro.com. On there, you can read about my products, you can read about my services, and I've got a whole page of free business building goodies for you. Just go to the website, theprofessionalmagicianclubpro.com, go to the free goodies page, enter in click on the one that you want. I've got 6 of them. I've got goodies on SEO, on Google Ads, emails, all kinds of cool stuff. And enter in your email and you'll get access to the goodies instantly. Each one has its own separate webpage. You know, read the ones that you want, opt in, and you're all set. And then from that moment on, you'll be subscribed to my weekly newsletter, The Professional Magician's Life. And it's a fun newsletter I read every week. This week I revealed, and I just published it a little while ago, I just revealed an exercise that I did several years ago when I was training a psychologist and hypnotist how to do magic. And it was basically a simple technique to camouflage their own movements or their own sleight of hand movements, what they did naturally. I know I'm not explaining all that well, but the newsletter reads it. It reveals the whole thing in detail, and that's the kind of stuff that I do every week in the newsletter. I give you business building tips, performing tips, philosophical tips about magic, and just thinking very deeply about this wonderful craft that we have to make a living with. So that's it for this week. Again, Chris Johnson here. Hope you guys had enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you all next week with another episode. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to today's show. If you haven't already, subscribe today so you don't miss a single episode. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of The Professional Magician.